Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the Board of Education meeting of November 26th. At this time, if I could ask everybody, please join us in saluting the flag and then a moment of silence. Say hi.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First order of business is communication.
Thank you. First is an invitation to the Football Athletic Award Ceremony on December 9th. Second is a letter to the Board of Education from Stephanie Dwyer regarding HPV vaccination. Three is a letter to the Board of Ed from Ms. Lisa Ruggiero regarding HPV vaccination. Four is a letter to the Board of Education from Ms. Courtney Laura regarding state Senate bill immunization law of HPV vaccine. In addition, four similar letters are attached.
Do I have a motion to accept correspondence?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Unfinished business. All right, so in terms of unfinished business, as you can tell from the correspondence, HPV is obviously a very hot topic, you know, in our neighborhood across Long Island, across the state. We have been receiving, as the Board of Education, letters advocating for us to write a letter as the Board of Education to encourage that. We've also been receiving letters as the Board of Education that people believe that this is something that's good and that should be in place. And I think as the Board of Education, we've had some discussion backwards, you know, going back and forth about the positives and negatives of it. You know, this is an unfunded mandate put on the Board of Education, but it doesn't cost us anything. Dealing with this issue, we feel the Board of Education is truly a parental issue. And in order for our legislators and assemblymen, the most important thing that we can do is to hear our voices collectively. People talk about neighboring districts writing letters. And neighboring districts have done that. I think we're looking to go a step further than just writing a letter that's going to fall on deaf ears. The most important things that we can do as constituents is to reach out to Senator Flanagan, Assembly Fitzpatrick, and make sure that collectively he is hearing our individual voices on whatever side you fall on the argument. One thing that Mr. Griffin is working on through our legislation committee, I'll let Matt speak about that.
On behalf of our legislative committee, what we've done is reached out to Senator Flanagan's office, Assemblyman Fitzpatrick's office, and right now we're in the process of working on setting up a legislative committee meeting where we'd like to bring both those gentlemen in and have face-to-face dialogue on, you know, where we stand, you know, where they stand on the issue, and it's the best part is it's an open public meeting, so everybody would be invited, and once we have a time locked down and it's scheduled, we'll make sure we have it advertised accordingly on the website and whatever other avenue to let people know when it is. Personally, I think that, you know, letters and emails, they have their place, but there's nothing that has an impact as a face-to-face conversation from us, our elected officials, and our community as well. So I think that's probably the most important thing we can do to let our elected officials know how we feel on not just HPV, but issues in the future, things that we might come up with later on. And just having that relationship, I think it'll make things a bit easier. So that's another piece we'll have to do here with the legislative committee, develop a relationship with our state senator and state assemblyman so we can have some open dialogue with them. So thank you. And well, I'll keep you posted as we go with scheduling a date for that.
And the most important thing for whichever side you fall on is these are the gentlemen that are going to be in the room advocating for the constituents that they represent. There's not a better way for them to hear from the masses of the way that you feel so they can make sure that your voice is being heard. For those that would like to get a jump start on this before we're able to schedule that meeting, in the back of the room you'll have both John Flanagan's address, telephone number, email here on Long Island, as well as his Albany office. And the same thing goes for Assemblyman Fitzpatrick, his address, his email, his phone number, and where to reach him up in Albany. Okay. Any other unfinished business? Okay, thank you. Board reports at this time, we have none. District committee reports, we have none. It's my pleasure to turn over to Mr. Stewart and the superintendent's report.
Great, thank you. Some great recognition tonight, some performances, I believe. So I'm going to turn the mic over to our wonderful principal, Ms.
We're just going to begin with our third graders, and I'll explain a little bit after. Ready, position, hut!
Thank you. feel it. Come on down.
Check. Ooh, it's hot. Here
we go. Welcome. My name is Gillen.
And I am Max.
And we are from a Screenfields class. We hope you enjoy our processional of the North Wind Stick Dance, which is inspired by Australia's tribal culture.
The Aborigine lyrics usher the North Wind to produce the upcoming harvest of cashews and berries. This is a celebration for a bountiful harvest and a prosperous year.
Hi, I'm Krista Braunruther. I'm the music teacher here at St. James Elementary School, and this is our little portion of our Heritage Day celebration, which the third graders put on Friday in celebration of all the different heritages within our community, and they get to kind of learn about all of the different cultures around the world as well. So we do a bunch of different songs from different cultures around the world. Obviously, the North Wind Stick Dance is from Australia, but we wanted to finish today with a tribute to our own country, God Bless America. Those of you who have served and still serve or have served, thank you so much, and this is dedicated to you. And we just wanted to say thank you and happy Thanksgiving. We are so grateful to have St. James in our lives. So thank you so much. Here's God Bless America. Third grade teachers as well. This is about half of our third grade that were able to come out tonight to make it for this grand finale performance, I guess you'd say, of our Heritage Day. That's a little bit of a snafu on the lining up and so forth, because we're about half of our children. Just so you know, I'll expand a little bit upon our Heritage Day. So the Board of Education members know a little background. Our third graders have been, once again, investigating their family heritage during the month-long unit on immigration. The study served as an introduction to learning about different cultures around the world. The children have read a variety of books about the journey to America.
And since many of our families traveled here some time ago, the boys and girls also learned about the immigration process through Ellis Island. Music, dance, and art have been integrated into this comprehensive unit. And as a culminating activity, the children researched and shared documents from their own family's history. Some of these research projects are on the music stands on the back of the room here tonight for you to take a peek at when you can. visitors at our Heritage Day last Friday also enjoyed a performance featuring songs and dances from many cultures, a little snippet of what you just saw this evening. And our Heritage Day is a treasured unit for students, families, and staff members. We hold it close to our hearts. We have, for you Board of Education members, prepared a little video of some of our earliest, our youngest first and kindergarten readers and writers that we just want to share with you as well. They're the stars of this program, and the video was created by one of our fourth grade teachers, Mrs. Karen Dennis. Lots more with you, but we know you have a full agenda. We have one more little piece to invite you back, though. Are you ready? So, Board of Education members and Central Office administrators, we hope you'll come back and visit us again. You're welcome into our world any day. And we have a couple of people who'd like to invite you to something very special. Come on. we'll close our invitations to our Nutcracker performance later in December, right before the holidays. I know many of you have been here already to visit our Nutcracker, and we'd love to see you again. And anyone who hasn't been able to visit, if you can, we'd love to have you. We know it's a busy holiday time, but we hope you can join us. Thank you.
On behalf of the Board of Education, I want to thank you, Mrs. Lynch, for tonight's performance. You know, St. James is a beautiful building. You know, historic, the structure is really, really something special. But what makes it a school is the parents and the children and the faculty and staff that come here every day and really make it a home for our kids in our community. So on behalf of the Board of everyone, thank you. All the teachers that are in the back and for our parents for sharing your children with us tonight. We thoroughly enjoyed the presentation. So a round of applause for you.
Volumes to the professionals that are behind the scenes with our students every day, and this one in particular is just incredible. So we're happy to have you, Mr. Cody, representing High School of the West, and a special award. So, Mr. Cody, can you take that microphone? Let's hear it. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you very much, Board of Ed, Central Office, for inviting us here tonight. Tonight, I have the great honor of calling up a very, very special teacher at High School West who is being recognized or was recognized for a very prestigious award. The 2019 Fred Podolsky Award is given out to one very special educator who has demonstrated outstanding technology innovation. And that particular teacher in our building has just done a tremendous job. And at this time, I'm going to say a couple more words, but if I could just bring up Dr. Katie DiGregorio. So at High School West, we kind of tend to take risks and do a few different things every once in a while. Sometimes they fail, sometimes they don't, but you know what? If you don't try, then you never really know what you got going on out there. So through the great work of Dr. DiGregorio, in collaboration with my assistant principal, Mr. Chris Elsesser, who was kind enough to write up the recommendation, we have a very special teacher who does a lot of innovative things for our school. And in one in particular was the idea that she came up with was to create what's called the Triple T program at High School West, teaching technological tools. So what we did was we decided that we needed to infuse technology into our classrooms, but equally as important, we needed to make sure that our teachers knew how to do it. And Dr. DiGregorio is an outstanding teacher and extremely, extremely excellent in her technological skills. So she was nominated for this award and has done tremendous things for our school, and now she's working in the district, sharing her knowledge with other buildings, other staff members. We do like to share, okay, so we play nice in the sand over at West. So while we would love to have her in our building every day doing what she continues to do, I have to say that she's a tremendous asset for our district. She's a pleasure to work with, and the award, the Fred Podolsky Award, is a very prestigious award that's given to a very, very select few people. So it's really my honor and my privilege to be here tonight in front of the board to recognize Dr. DiGregorio and to make sure that we all understand that what she's doing is really having a great impact, not just on the students at WestNow, but on the students throughout the district, that she's taking her skills and her talents and sharing it with everybody. I think, John, you have a little something that you can show for us, and I'll give the mic to our recipient. So we had a little presentation at the award ceremony. There had to be 1,000 people there. They came and interviewed a few people here at school. Mr. Alcesar, of course, was one of them. But please, if you could just indulge for a couple minutes for a little presentation.
I mean, for me, it's the level of excitement that she's brought to High School West to integrate instructional technology across the board, whether it's small group instruction, large group presentations, or pushing them to classrooms. She has a solution for everything.
What Katie does so well is she helps you integrate technology, which often you learn about theoretically, but she's actually there in the classroom as you're using the technology. She helps you implement it and get through all the problems that occur as you're implementing it, so you feel much more comfortable using it even when she's not there. So just her presence there and the fact that she's so hands-on with technology, I think makes using technology that much easier.
So in 2011, I began teaching. I started teaching Spanish in a small school. And that first couple of years I was teaching, I went to a Google conference. And at the Google conference, they played this video. And in the video, it said, "You choosing to be bothered by something that's seemingly impossible." And it really kind of like flipped a switch for me. So when I came back, that's when I started to use all these different tools, all these different mediums to engage my students. So I was teaching Spanish at the time. And I tried all these different ways to get the students to use the language more authentically than just doing verb conjugations or other different activities. And it just totally shifted my practice in the classroom.
So it was an absolute pleasure and a very easy nomination to put forth Katie DiGregorio for this prestigious award. One of the things that makes her so unique is her absolute passion and dedication to education and her superior knowledge to the use of technology.
Over the last couple of years since I've been doing the ENL, and sometimes what happens is the kids, they would come in and they felt like they could never really participate like everybody else. So a really cool project I did was an inspirational teacher, and the kids made flip grids, and they sent videos to their inspirational teacher, and then the teacher turned around and responded it to the students, which was so cool to see because you could see how great that was for those kids. Like, it was instantaneous. Their faces lit up. They were like, "Did you see what so-and-so said about me?" Like, it was a really great thing because now all those videos are on Flipgrid and those kids could always go back to those. And it was just a really easy lesson and a really easy activity for them to just say thank you to the teachers who inspired them, but for also for those teachers to say how much their students have inspired them as well. So that was one of my favorite lessons that I've done. I'd really like to thank my nominator, Mr. Christopher Alcesar, who is my AP and is part of my, worked with me last year in my coaching program, my principal, John Colby, who's been nothing but supportive here at Smithtown. The Smithtown administrative staff, they've been great. They took me under their wing last year, let me bring this coaching program and the different technology tools district-wide. I'd also like to thank my co-teachers because they let me take risks in the classroom, and they're always willing to try new things. And without them, I don't think I would have been as successful, and I don't think that I would be in a position like this to receive this fantastic award without the entire Smithtown community, my principals, the librarians, everybody. I would like to thank everybody.
Again, I want to thank the board and central office for allowing us to come out here and to recognize Katie for this really prestigious honor. It's easy to nominate wonderful teachers like this who bring excitement, energy day in and day out, and will take people who maybe might be reluctant to use technology, as you saw Ms. Antoniazzi. What would you say? She had a rudimentary experience level of knowledge. Yeah. So she took somebody who really is a great educator and has done a great job for years, and brought her in and up to speed on technology, she would be never seen again not using technology or some sort of tool in the classroom. She has just does an amazing job with all of our teachers, and I just want to congratulate her and have her thank you all for being recognized tonight. So thank you all very much.
This is a lot less people than at the award ceremony. I looked out, and I was like, oh, there's tons of people here. Just wanted to thank, you know, my principal, John, Chris, Paul McNeil, who I work with over at Accomset, and all the middle school principals this year at the Board of Ed. Thank you so much for all your support. Ms. Bradshaw, thank you for last year taking me under your wing and teaching me great things. It's just a wonderful place to work here in Smithtown. It's always been my dream to stay here and work here. But it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be able to do it without your support. So thank you, everybody. Like I said, I just want to thank everybody. Thank you so much.
Can I get two board members, please? Thank you. December 10th Board of Education meeting. I would encourage everybody to come on December 10th because we have a lot of recognition. In fact, you know, one event that we went through this past Thursday night was the Business Olympics. I know Ms. Mercedes, we were there, Ms. Koala, were there, judges, and we are certainly going to recognize in December 10th the winners of that event. We also are going to have our swimmers and divers. We have some state champions. We have a piece artwork recipient. We're going to have that night, as well as another master teacher, and then an incredible recognition of staff at Great Hollow, where there was an emergency situation. We're going to recognize a lot of members of our staff that night as well. So I would encourage you to come on to December 10th. It's going to be an incredible meeting, and I wanted to let the board know that. Coming up, you should know on the calendar, on Tuesday, Board of Elementary Parent Teacher Conferences. That's a half day for elementary students. On Wednesday, the 4th, coming up, we have elementary conferences again in no school for elementary. Our next meeting, as I said, is our regular meeting on Tuesday, the 10th. As a New York Avenue, not here. Thank you, Ms. Lynch, for having us here tonight. It was great. Executive sessions at 7, and of course, our regular meetings are reconvened at 8 p.m. I would ask the board to approve Superintendent Report Item Number 8, which is the 457 Deferred Compensation Plan. But before you vote, I just think it's important for, if you don't mind, Andrew, I'm going to put you on the spot. I know it's no cost to the district, but if I were there and they were about to approve something in the 457 plan, I want to know what it's all about. So if you just explain to the community, I know, board, I've always already given you this, but if you explain to me what they're about to either approve or deny, that's up to you.
Sure. Just to let the community and the board know that the 457B plan is just another tax sheltering option for employees to shelter their money, obviously, for tax purposes. Most of our employees have a 403B account, but this is another avenue that we have offered them. It's all done through New York State, so there's literally no third-party charge directly to the state, so truly no cost in the district, but a nice advantage for our employees.
Can I have a motion? Second. Any discussion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Public participation. Ms. O'Connor, we have a speaker.
Yes, the first speaker is Heather Clare. My children never received a flu vaccine. I'm a little nervous.
Okay, you're doing great.
Although they were up to date on the required vaccines at the time. But on December 23rd, 2018, I made a choice to give my children the flu vaccine. I made that decision because during the winter of 2017, my twins and I had the flu. And while it was relatively minor, only lasting a few days, like any parent, I was hoping to avoid illness in the next season. We went to urgent care on December 23rd to get the vaccine. I was never told that the vaccine has never been more than 46% effective, at best, in preventing the flu. I was not given the vaccine insert or informed of the risks of receiving the vaccine. I was not told of the possible side effects. I was not told that when a vaccine can't provide 95 to 97% of the population with lifelong immunity, I am not, in fact, helping to protect anybody else who can't get the vaccine. Luckily for my two-year-old, I was told that she was too young to be treated at that particular urgent care. But I thought, we're already here, I'll get my twins the vaccine, I'll get my daughter to the doctor another time. So they received the flu vaccine and they're on their way. On December 24th, they woke up sick, 102 fevers, sore throat, lethargic. We went to the doctor and they both tested positive for flu type A. Like some of you might be thinking, I thought they just had bad luck and had been exposed to the flu prior to receiving the vaccine. But then I learned that the nasal spray vaccine that they had received in an attempt to avoid needles is live. The doctor confirmed the flu was, in fact, the result of the vaccine. Our Christmas Eve and Christmas plans were canceled as I tried to get my children healthy again. The morning of December 26th, my twins were sleeping in, which they don't normally do, but I figured I'd let them sleep since they were sick. My two-year-old, who remained healthy this entire time and never had the vaccine, woke up at her usual 6 a.m. My older daughter woke up around 8. By 10 a.m., my son was still sleeping. I went in to check on him. He was unresponsive. To be honest, most of what happened next is a blur. I am a paramedic, as well as a school psychologist, but being a paramedic doesn't matter when it's your child. I remember checking for a pulse and checking if he was breathing. He had a pulse, but he was barely breathing. He would not wake up. I took him outside wearing nothing but his pajamas in an attempt to have the cold wake him up. He still did not wake up. He was rushed to Stony Brook University Hospital and admitted to the pediatric ICU, where he spent the next 8 days. He was diagnosed with pneumonia and vaccine-induced viral sepsis, on top of the flu that he'd been previously diagnosed with 3 days prior. I truly cannot explain to you what it feels like when you see your child lying in a bed in the PICU, fighting for his life, then you are told the decision that you made put him there. Trust me, I did not want to believe that anything he was going through was because of a vaccine I chose to give him. So I tried to think of every reason possible why he was sick, or different doctors confirmed that his condition was in fact due to the vaccine. He was released on the 8th day, but he had lost nearly 20% of his body weight, and his muscles were so badly atrophied from the sepsis that he could not walk or stand on his own. He immediately started physical therapy to try to regain his strength, endurance, coordination, and balance. It is almost a year later, and he still receives PT to address these concerns. And even with the PT, he still has fallen so many times, four of which were so bad he had stitches in his face, because he's still lacking strength, coordination, endurance, and balance. He still, to this day, almost a year later, weighs 2 pounds less than he did on December 23rd, 2018. Despite all of this, as well as a confirmed report to the VAERS reporting system,
My son has still been unable to obtain a medical exemption. Our story is not the only story like this. I've now met hundreds of parents over the last year who share a story similar to mine. Some have even more tragic outcomes. Why do I share this with all of you? I share this story because there are a number of bills in New York State Congress that focus on vaccines. They will be voted on starting in January. But one in particular could mandate a flu vaccine for all children up to 18 to attend daycare and school. This law eliminates parental choice. No one knows my children better than I do. There is not a doctor, an employee of the Department of Health, a legislator, or a governor that knows my children better than I do. They do not know their personal history, their medical history, or their genetic makeup. They don't know their favorite color or their favorite meal or what they even look like, but yet the medical decision-making ability could be placed in their hands. As educators, we resent when legislators make decisions about our schools and our classrooms because they think they know better. The feeling is immensely intensified when, as a parent, we are told that the legislators, the governor, and the Department of Health know our children better than us. I understand that vaccines are a polarizing topic, to say the least. I am not asking for anyone in this room to oppose vaccines. Opposing these mandates does not eliminate anyone's ability to get vaccines if they choose. And that is the whole point. Everyone should have the right to choose. So while I know you mentioned earlier that we contacted Senator Flanagan and Assemblyman Fitzpatrick, many of us have met with them already, including myself, and they are strong supporters of parental choice and against the vaccine mandate. So I ask that on behalf of my son and on behalf of parents everywhere who know their children better than anyone else, I ask you to please join your colleagues at Comac School District, Connecticut School District, Three Village School District, Penn Yan Central School District, East Islip School District, and Patrick Medford School District, and write a letter opposing the laws that eliminate parental choice and bodily autonomy and mandate the flu vaccine and the HPV vaccine. It is our most important responsibility to protect our children, and this, right now, is the time to stand up for them. Thank you.
We're going to count on you and your friends and our community to fill our auditorium, and this way that our representation up in Albany sees the way that our community feels. And again, a simple letter is one thing. To see an auditorium filled with parents and community members and friends and neighbors, I think we'll really have a more powerful message to make sure that our voices are being heard. So thank you for sharing that with us tonight.
Jessica and Carlos Morales.
I might have signed in for tonight.
Maybe. Alana Trocia, T-R-O-C-C-I-H-I-A. Just state your name and your address.
Hi, good evening. Alana Trocia, 409 North Country Road in St. James. Thank you for the audience. I have already, sent out a communication, by email to you all, the board, and have contacted our assembly person, Michael Fitzpatrick, as well as our Senate representative, John Flanagan. I really just wanted to raise some awareness here about what's at stake come January. There are proposed bills for the Senate and Assembly that would make the HPV shot, that's for human papillomavirus, which is sexually transmitted and is really has no place in our schools, and especially to be mandated for children as young as 9 years old. This is not something that can be transmitted by a cough, by a saliva droplet, by a sneeze, that kind of thing. Then the bill for mandating influenza vaccine, also mandatory for children to attend school. as well as the proposed bill to administer treatment, including for sexually transmitted infections, for instance, the HPV shot, to minors without parental consent. So really, I just wanted parents, community members to be aware of how much this is infringing on parental rights. Really, government overreach. Parents should be the ones deciding on their children's medical treatment, not the government. These vaccines especially are not without risk. These vaccines especially are not safe for everyone. It's really important to educate all of ourselves on the really alarming and possible severe side effects. Patient testimonials have listed and documented. We already heard about, you know, possible complications from the influenza vaccine, which also, you know, are not limited to things like development of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is, you know, can be completely debilitating. There have also been patient testimonials linked to the HPV vaccine, including fainting, seizures, autoimmune disease development, and premature ovarian failure in females. So really, just wanted to build the awareness here for those who haven't heard or don't know, but really that the choice should be ours, you know, as long as you have the information that you should be able to decide, yes, I want this, no, I don't want this, but it should not be linked for a school attendant. Thank you.
Wanted to see what your position was with the HPV, with the flu. Again, it's a parent's choice, and I'm hoping, we hoped that you would put a letter out to join with the other districts. It doesn't sound like that's what you're planning on doing, unfortunately. I appreciate that you want to get legislators and assemblymen here. I just don't know that you'll do it in time. they're voting on this in January of 2020. You know, so this is a huge concern. I will not vaccinate my child. It will go to court. I mean, I will not do this. So I'm hoping to see more support from all of you for us. If a parent wants to vaccinate, they can. So I shouldn't have to be told to do this. And the other concern some parents had, they couldn't make it here tonight, was on vaping in the high school. And I just wanted to know if any plan has been implemented and what were you doing about that. Parents are telling me that their children are actually afraid to even use restrooms because of the high school level, and I wasn't sure what position the district was taking on that as well.
On vaping?
Vaping.
There's no vaping on school grounds whatsoever.
That's not true.
No, hold on. They have a Belgian principle here, so we can certainly address vaping. There's zero tolerance for vaping. There are students vaping in this high school and every high school on Long Island. We're taking it very seriously.
I'm sure you are. I
hear you loud and clear. It's a father of four children. Mm-hmm. It's a problem, a serious problem across the entire Long Island. We are addressing it in multiple ways. And we can certainly, just so you know, if you want to meet, or I'm not going to make you present, but we can certainly in the future talk more about that as well. But I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so everyone's aware. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Also known as Gardasil 9, in order to attend school. I know people who are taking this very seriously and are looking to take their kids out of their schools and homeschool them, as well as possibly move to other states. I have already contacted Assemblyman Fitzpatrick and Senator Flanagan to sit down and discuss my concerns in opposition to this bill as well. They are taking it very seriously and they are opposed to it as well. Of course, I'm referring to the bill that will make HPV vaccine mandatory and make the flu vaccine mandatory as well. But the scariest one of all that is looking to get passed would allow the children of minor students for STDs without parental consent by any healthcare provider, including the school nurse. This allows them to get shots for the HPV vaccine if the minor consents to it as young as 9 years old. We need the Board of Ed to write a letter to Governor Cuomo in Albany opposing these mandates as other Suffolk districts have, showing their support for the parents and children who are not in agreement with these proposed bills. Connecticut has already written a letter, as well as many other schools, vehemently opposing this new vaccine. They have gone to explain that the most prevalent way to contract diseases from other students in a school setting is by lack of cleanliness and the spread of respiratory droplets containing virus and bacteria, including and not limited to sneezing, coughing, and mucus discharge. This is prevented by a mandatory vaccine program included and not limited to mumps, measles, rubella vaccines, and etc., which are all communicable diseases. HPV is not. Unlike an HPV, it is mainly contracted through sexual activity. I would like to say this is not about being pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. It's about being given the choice as parents to make the decisions for ourselves at the appropriate time, not when we are told to do so. No one has that right but us. And by you supporting us shows that you stand with us in making that decision. In summary, these bills trample on our parental rights and our medical freedom to choose what is best for our own children. The government has no place in making medical decisions for our families, and I hope you stand with us against these bills. As a side note, as a healthcare provider, I don't mandate anything on my patients. I inform them, I educate them, and so that we can make an informed decision together. I thank you for your time.
Fitzpatrick with us, we'll get that out. And again, a collective loud voice may do exactly what many of us are hoping to do.
But that's not enough. We are looking to get you guys collectively to support us in writing something. It doesn't hurt to have an actual letter to the governor so they can physically see it, as well as speaking to the senator and assemblyman.
Absolutely. Running in the governor's side.
But we need something for you guys to support us with a letter. Why other schools are doing it and you guys are not is beyond me. I don't understand. And if you can explain, I would appreciate that. Thank you. Hope.
Hearing you loud and clear. I just want to share with you the last statement that we made at our last Board of Education meeting. With the HPV vaccine concerns, collectively our feeling is that we represent the entire district. So it's very difficult for us. It's something that is not a financial in nature, meaning something that is a mandate financially, or money that we are receiving in state aid, which is obviously a thing for us. But when we are talking about vaccination and religion and how people feel and how parents, it's difficult for us to make a decision on the behalf of the entire community. So we choose not to at this time. We have our own individual feelings as parents, and you know, some of us will be writing letters as parents and as individuals. But as the Board of Education, you know, we feel that our focus needs to be on educating our children. We are working hard to set up a community forum to bring in Senator Flanagan and Assembly of Fitzpatrick, so collectively, all of our voices can be heard.
But and you're not going to lie. And the bill that passed in December 2020, we don't have three people.
They're ready to lie. Both of them. It's Patrick and Flanagan. They're ready to try to. I feel like it's a waste of time if we
don't need to have them.
There are one assembly member and there are one senator. Amongst all the other legislators here in New York State, how can we dedicate time to meet with them as a community when we already know that they are on our side? Why do we reach to a higher level
Well, I have
many other school districts and
discuss between ourselves. But as I'm sitting here tonight and listening to all these fantastic speakers and just thinking how the political process works, yes, we have two names that represent us locally, but three other people that have a big stake in this as well. Obviously, Governor Cuomo, he's a big person to reach out to, but two other names that kind of, well, they don't get mentioned is Carl Casey, who is the Speaker of the Assembly, and also Andrew Stewart Cousins, who is the Speaker of the Senate. Unfortunately,
it's... If they won't come here, do you have a letter to them?
Yeah. I will take care of that personally.
If you look at the states, and tell them he can't go to school.
I couldn't imagine what he's gone through with that. I have kids my own that are similar ages, and that would tear me apart.
Can I ask you a question? You guys are thinking about this on...
Can you just say your name and address for the record?
Thank you.
My name is Christy Solovito, 15 Delbury Lane,
Wisconsin. Can you spell your last name?
S and Sam, Olomito.
Thank you.
My concern is this. I know this is a political issue, and you guys don't want to take sides, and I get that. But one thing that is critical to our school district is funding. And one thing that you guys aren't looking at all is the result of many of these vaccines cause injuries. And those injuries result in things such as autism and other aspects that are going to cost you guys a bundle. Because all of those children are going to need special services. Where are you getting the money in the budget? How are you going to handle those issues when they present themselves from these dangerous vaccines that are useless? Nobody dies of the flu. This is the 21st century. It doesn't happen anymore. They're using statistics, and they're using statistics from other countries where they don't have running water and they don't have toilets. It doesn't pertain to New York State. And that's what you guys need to take into consideration. And when you're thinking about this, use it as a money issue when you write that letter. Think about what's going to happen. What are the repercussions from giving these kids these dangerous vaccines that are going to cause you more harm and cost us more money to provide them with services? That's where your letter should come from, not worrying about which side of the fence you are about vaccines or anti-vaccines. So please take that into consideration when you write this letter or when you have your meeting to discuss whether or not you should write a letter. Hi, Dawn Selg, SELG, 10 Elderwood Drive. Just a couple of things. I'm very disappointed to hear that money is the only driving factor behind the decision that you guys are making. It appears that the mandates that are in order in January are driven behind money as well and not taking health and people into consideration.
I apologize, but I have to stop you. I don't believe once anybody up here had spoken about the only thing that we would do is based
on
my...
Can you reread what you wrote, what you just said about...
I talked about a financial situation, but when I spoke earlier in unfinished business, I spoke about that we as a Board of Education have been receiving letters on both sides of the issue from our community, where we
can
have...
Can you tell me how many letters you've received pro and how many letters against?
I don't know off the top of my hand, but I've read both sides of those letters. And again, our job at the Board of Education is to represent our community and to focus on our educational issues.
Can your letter dictate that you've had X percentage letters from your community and you don't have to say you're 100%, that you've just actually received an immense number of letters or support from the community that's against this, not saying 100% against or 100% for?
Well, certainly something we can take into consideration should we choose to write.
But I did want to, I'm assuming that you guys would have thought this through also, is the fact that if people are given the choice to homeschool or move out of state, if these mandates come up, then you will lose enrollment. And I know that there's already teetering on school closures, people moving. So when you think about financial impacts that it will have to the district, there could be some there. As a person whose child is homeschooled now because of the loss of religious exemptions in June, when I come back to the school, this is the first time I've been back since September, I keep remembering something that the PTA had funded, and that is a speaker, Ruby Bridges. I don't know if you're aware of her.
I am.
Well, she's come to the school and she's talked to the children about
how awful segregation is, how awful discrimination is. And these mandates, the religious loss of the religious exemption, and what the governor and what the legislature is looking at doing in January, is that this is segregation and discrimination in our time. So for those who aren't aware of her, her autographed book is in the library. My children both had the pleasure of seeing her speak. And I think that that's also something that should be thought of. It's a different perspective.
I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing.
At this time, I would ask the board to approve items 11 through 16 on the consent agenda, please.
Does any board member wish to remove any item from the consent agenda? Good. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve consent agenda item 11 through 16?
Motion.
I have a motion. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And on that consent agenda tonight, I'd like to make the announcement to share that we have approved a few retirements from our Smithtown community. I'd like to wish and congratulate Dr. Lee, principal of Tacan Elementary School, Joanne Rapp, teacher from Mount Pleasant Elementary School, Karen Vandover, teacher from Netflix Middle School, and Deborah Beer, a teacher from Dogwood Elementary School. Congratulate them on their retirement and thanking them for their many years of service. Motion to adjourn to executive session to discuss the employment history of a particular person. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thank you for coming.